Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, whose will it is to restore all things in your well-beloved Son, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, mercifully grant that the people of the earth, divided and enslaved by sin, may be freed and brought together under his most gracious rule, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Ezekiel. Thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out, as shepherds seek out their flocks when they are among their scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places to which they have been scattered on the day of clouds and thick darkness. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and will bring them into their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the watercourses, and in all the inhabited parts of the land. I will feed them with good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel shall be their pasture. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and they shall feed on rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, but the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with justice. Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you pushed with flank and shoulder and butted at all the weak animals with your horns until you scattered them far and wide, I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be ravaged, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. Thanks be to God.
Oh, my God, reading from the letter of Paul to the Ephesians. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, and for this reason I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is his immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The gospel hymn is taken from Lift Every Voice and Sing, number 62.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people, one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, 'Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink.
I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. Then he will say to those at his left hand, You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, Truly I tell you, just as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Tom was very busy at the office that day. There was some conflict going on in his company over the product that they were going to deliver. He felt that this was a crucial moment in the life of his business. He had meetings back to back to back all day. At 3 o'clock in the afternoon, his cell phone rang. He ignored it. At 4 o'clock, he was in another meeting when the cell phone rang again. He pulled it out. Excuse me, he said, and looked at it. It was his wife. Doesn't she know not to bother me at the office? He thought. He turned the ringer off, put it back in his pocket. He continued from meeting to meeting, and once the conflict seemed to have been at least for the time being resolved, then he had to send emails to everyone, making sure that everyone felt heard, listened to, that he had tied up all the loose ends. When he felt satisfied that he had done his best, he left the office. It was 7 o'clock, He got in the car and pulled out his cell phone. His wife had tried to call 4 more times. He dialed her number, but she didn't pick up. At 7:30, he pulled into his driveway and noticed that the lights in the house were all turned off. He unlocked the front door, turned on the light in the front hallway, and saw that there was a piece of paper waiting for him on the table beside the door. It was a letter written in his wife's handwriting. "Tom," she wrote, "I tried to call you over and over and over again at the office today, but you wouldn't take my call. I can't believe that you forgot it's your son's birthday. You promised to take him and his friend to the basketball game tonight, but you never showed up. So I've taken them myself. I don't know what's going on with you." And then the last line stung worst of all. It said, "Are you still a part of this family?" Tom took the letter and went into the dining room where he sat down. In the silence, he realized that something in his life was incredibly wrong, and that he was alone. At some point in their growing up, each one of my 3 boys has asked what I call the question. I call it the question because it's a question that I don't know how to answer when they ask it. They usually ask it around the age of 4 or 5. So it was a few years ago that my youngest asked the question. He put it this way: "Mom, is the whole world gonna get blown up?" "What do you mean, honey?" I asked him back. "Well, is the earth gonna die? I mean, is it gonna all go kaplooey at some point?" How do I answer that question? Thoughts run through my mind like I remember in college when we studied the Nemesis Affair. Millions of years ago, geologists have found a layer of meteoric dust that should have happened a few million years ago. And what they believe is that sometime when the dinosaurs were roaming the planet, a huge meteor hit the earth, raising up dust that blocked the rays of the sun so that the flora and fauna died. It's one scientific explanation for the reason the dinosaurs became extinct. So I've got science running through my brain. And then I've got scripture. The biblical view is that the world will end. You know that, don't you? The Bible begins with the creation of our world, and it ends with the end of our world. It is very clear in the scripture that God created the human being to have a limited lifespan here on earth, and God also created our world to have a limited lifespan. God did not intend that we would simply go on forever. So I guess the answer is yes. Yes, the world will end, but I don't know how to tell my son that without scaring him. The scripture tells us that in the end of days, Christ will come again, and that he will sit in judgment, determining who comes with him, who enters into him, and who goes away. Today is the final Sunday of the Christian year. Did you know that? We're ending the Christian year today. Next Sunday begins the season of Advent, in which we wait for the coming of the Christ child. This last Sunday of the Christian year, for centuries, has been called Christ the King Sunday. Because on this Sunday, we are invited to see Christ as the one who ushers in the end of all things, the one who executes judgment. And this, what they call the last judgment, is terrifying for most of us. We don't like it. We don't like thinking about it. We don't like talking about it. So most of us have uncertain feelings about the last judgment, and we swing from one end of a pendulum to the other. On one extreme, many people say that everybody gets in. Don't worry about the judgment. God loves everybody. Everybody will come to God, and no one will be cast aside. Part of me thinks that's a very comforting view, except for one point. It makes all behavior irrelevant, right? It means that there are no consequences for anything that we do because we're all welcome anyway. And it ultimately gives us no free will and God no job at the end. On the other extreme, we have people who think that God will limit the saved to a very small number. Take, for example, the Jehovah's Witnesses. They think that only Jehovah's Witnesses are getting into heaven. Well, that means an awful lot of people are going to get cast aside. And I find that almost intolerable. I know too many amazing people. So what is it? Does everybody get in? Or do only a few get in? Or what about people who are good but don't believe anything? Or what about Mahatma Gandhi and the people of other religions? And what about this and what about that? I have an answer for you when it comes to the issues of who gets in and who gets out of heaven. The answer is hidden in the title of this Sunday, Christ the King. What that means is that you are not the king and I am not the king. In other words, it is not up to you or to me to determine who gets into heaven and who goes to hell. We must leave that to the king. Every time we start to try to figure it out, we end up either going to war or losing our theology entirely. So it's very important that we remember that Christ is the King, and Christ alone, mysteriously and beyond our comprehension, will be able to figure it out. The only thing that you need to be concerned about is your own self. So how is it then that you can be assured that when you come to see Christ face to face, he will open his arms to you? How can we come to know that he will welcome us? Jesus gives us a wonderful clue in the gospel for today. He says that our salvation is directly linked to how we treat those less fortunate than ourselves. If you want to enter into God's glory, you must be willing to give of yourself. You must be willing to live more than just for yourself. You must be willing to love not only your family, but also to give and love those who cannot reciprocate your gifts. Your salvation and mine are directly impacted by the way that we act in our lives. If we say that we believe in Christ, but we do nothing for those who are less fortunate than ourselves, then our faith is nothing but words. I've always disliked the word charity. The word charity in the modern sense makes it sound as if the person who gives to another is some kind of a superhuman who deigns to assist, who out of their very goodness doesn't have to, but simply helps, and aren't they wonderful? We don't help people in need because we're wonderful. We help them because we have to. Because our ability to give of ourselves is what saves our souls. You see, everything is interconnected. God lives in each of us, and God lives in the little homeless baby who is right now sleeping over at Community Connections shelter next door. And God is in the homeless man who doesn't smell very good and doesn't know really why he's here. And when we see the connection between ourselves and those who are less fortunate, we connect ourselves to God. And if we live our lives only concerned with ourselves and how we're doing and how we're acting, well, then we're going to come home one night and find a letter. And we're going to realize that we're alone. Those who live alone in this life, those who live for themselves, will die alone. Those who live for others will live with God. I know that you know this because you come here to this place on Sunday morning. You come here to the heart of downtown where a lot of people don't go anymore. You must realize and believe what I believe, which is when most of the people left downtown, Jesus didn't leave, but he's still here. You must believe what I believe, that you can see glimpses of him here in the people that are on the streets and that need our help. We are blessed to be able to help others. We are so blessed to be here in this time and place. And I believe that if we continue to try and do our best to see Christ in all those around us, that God will welcome us with open arms and say, come, come inside. Amen.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Father, we pray for those who are sick, lonely, hungry, or in pain. Comfort them and give them strength. I invite you to speak their names. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless this cathedral, that we may serve you here in the heart of downtown Jacksonville. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Watch over this city, that there may be an end to poverty and homelessness. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for all those who do your work in the church, especially for the important outreach made possible through the United Thank Offering. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bring peace to our broken world, that there may be greater understanding among races and peoples. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Help us to care for the earth as your creation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We ask you to bless all who have died and comfort those who mourn them. I invite you to speak their names. We remember especially Ray Young. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Let us give thanks to God for all the blessings of this life. We give special thanks for the birth of Benjamin David Featherstone. I invite you to name your blessings aloud.
Almighty and eternal God, ruler of all things in heaven and earth, mercifully accept the prayers of your people and strengthen us to do your will through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all of your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
Please be seated. Welcome, all of you. Welcome to the cathedral. If you're new or visiting, we're so glad you're here. You can fill out a little card in your pew, or if you go to the font at the entrance of the church, we'll have someone meet you there and give you a bag. So we're glad you're here. Today at 5 o'clock, one of the great traditions of the cathedral is going on. It's called St. Andrew's Evensong. We're going to have bagpipes, tartans. Our choir has prepared some incredible music. We're going to have a preacher who is a Presbyterian minister who worked with the Queen. And it should be a wonderful time. So 5 o'clock today, if you love great music and great tradition, come. As I mentioned, today is the last Sunday of the Christian year, which means that next Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent. Advent is a lost season. Our culture no longer celebrates it. We jump right to Christmas. Gosh, are you hearing Christmas music around? We haven't even had our turkey yet. We are going to try to celebrate this beautiful season called Advent for 4 weeks, preparing for the coming of Christ. Next Sunday, we are going to have in Tolliver Hall a wonderful fair, which includes an alternative gifts market. So if you want to buy presents and also do some good, that's a wonderful thing. We're going to be making Advent wreaths, which consist of 4 candles around a circle, and you light 1 candle each week. You can do it before eating your supper. And that way we remember that the light of Christ is coming into the world. We're going to have crafts for kids and hot cider and hot cocoa. So come either at 9 o'clock or you can come after church. We are concluding our pledge drive, but we still have a lot of people who have not yet pledged who normally do. If you're one of those people, we would love to have you pledge so we can write our budget and figure out what we're doing next year. We're grateful to all of you who are able to do that. And today is United Thank Offering Sunday. We do this the Sunday before Thanksgiving every year. The United Thank Offering is a group of Episcopalians who have a board, and they give money away to outreach every year. You have to write a grant to apply for a gift from them. Last year, we got a grant from them to buy the Bishop of Cuba a car. So it's a wonderful organization. You will see separate baskets coming around, and you should have an envelope that says United Thank Offering. If you can put a few dollars in there, it goes to good work. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive."
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
Also
lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. For in Jesus Christ, your incarnate Word, you have given us a Lord and King to follow and obey. By his own example of love and service, we are taught to love and serve one another. And in doing so, we give honor to him and to you, the God and Father of all. Therefore, we join our voices with the heavenly choirs and with all those who claim their joyful place as subjects in your kingdom. And with them, we sing this hymn of praise. Gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself, and when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night that he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace, and at the last day bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God, take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. God be your comfort and strength. God be your hope and support. God be your light and your way. And the blessing of God, the Creator, Redeemer, and Giver of life, remain with you now and forever. Amen. Let us go forth into the world rejoicing in the power of the Spirit. Thanks be to God.